I'm Brian Moldeen. About a century ago, a group of explorers, two with ties to the University of Illinois, set out to find Crocker Land. Robert Peary had claimed to see the large landmass in the Arctic Ocean during an earlier attempt to reach the North Pole. The expedition lasted 4 years without ever finding Crocker Land, which turned out not to exist. Now, historian David Welke with the University of Central Arkansas has chronicled the affair in a new book, A Wretched and Precarious Situation. I spoke with Welke about his book and how the U of I's Elmer Ekblah became an unlikely part of the Crocker Land expedition.
He was a burly, heavy-set guy who had never been anywhere close to the Arctic, but on a geological expedition, he had become friends with someone else who was involved in the Crocker Land expedition, and I think kind of fell in love with the idea of the adventure, the description of what might be up there in Crocker Land, and from there he applied for the expedition, and really, his only qualification, as he put it in his application letter, was that his parents were from Sweden, and so he therefore might be sort of naturally acclimated to the cold weather of the Arctic.
Yeah, and it was interesting, as the story goes on, Dave, it seems that Elmer Ekblah really was one of the most reliable members of that expedition team.
Absolutely, and he is, like a lot of us would be if we were suddenly thrown into a situation we're going to travel to the Arctic. He's writing these frantic letters before he leaves saying, what do I bring? Do I need to bring clothes? Or should I have books? Do we need scientific equipment or anything? So he's really naive when it comes to the Arctic. On the boat ride north, he has seasickness the whole time. He loses his binoculars. He's kind of hopeless. But then he really does adapt. He really does grow and develop as a scientist and as a person, becomes really a rock-solid member of the expedition, calm and cool, does some excellent research, scientific research up there, on particularly on geography. It's really a period of immense personal growth for him.
The other person with Illinois ties on the expedition was Maurice Tanqueray, who served as the zoologist on that expedition. How did Tanqueray get involved? Was it through his ties to Ekblah?
It was, because he's another unlikely member of an Arctic expedition. His specialty is entomology, the study of insects, and he particularly loves bees. And you're unlikely to find a lot of bees in the Arctic. But he was a very close friend of Elmer Ekblah, and so Ekblah kind of invited him to come along. In fact, the University of Illinois almost demanded it. The University of Illinois gave some money to the expedition, and the string attached to that money is we have to have two Illinois people go along for the trip.
How did Tanqueray fare on this expedition?
Tanqueray not so well as Ekblah. He had a lot of that same confusion, that same naivete as Ekblah, and never really quite found his place. He was never really sure of what he was supposed to do up there in the Arctic. So he didn't crack, he didn't fall apart, but he had some very difficult times throughout the expedition.
I'm curious about the research you did, Dave, that kind of shed some light on what these men did, both in their time at Illinois and then their time on this expedition.
Well, there are fantastic resources for studying the Crocker Land expedition. A lot of those resources are on the East Coast, particularly at the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, which was the primary sponsor of the expedition and has a lot of the expedition's records. There's a lot of correspondence to and from Tanqueray and Ekblah that's housed in New York. There's also a lot of correspondence and field journals at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine, and they've actually just finished going through a lot of Elmer Ekblah's field journals, which are housed there in Maine. Now, at the Spurlock Museum right on campus at the University of Illinois, they have a few hundred artifacts, clothing and things like that, that Ekblah brought back to his alma mater, donated to the alma mater. I believe they just had a special exhibit on the Crocker Land expedition that just wrapped up a few months ago. So there's little bits and pieces, little relics of this expedition in several locations around the United States.
Sure, and I'm always curious with a book like this. I'm always curious, kind of what the impetus is for someone to take up a topic like this. What caught your eye about the Crocker Land expedition that made you think, hey, this will make a really good book?
I just happened into this. I had never heard of it before, and I stumbled across a brief little reference in an unrelated book, and it just said, well, I want to look into that. And I learned more about the story, and particularly about the people, and I just fell in love with it. It's a story that has everything you would expect from an Arctic narrative. It's got adventure and peril and all kinds of unexpected twists and turns. But I thought that on top of that, the people were so fascinating. People like Ekblad trying to find his way in this alien environment. The expedition surgeon, a man by the name of Hal Hunt, who goes north and immediately regrets the decision, leaving behind a wife, his young daughter, a character like Fitzhugh Green, who's a scientist who goes north and just absolutely falls apart. I found the people, the character, the story, it's just so fascinating that I wanted to be the person to tell it.
What do you think the legacy of the Crocker Land expedition was, both in terms of, you know, exploring in the Arctic and maybe in some other ways? What are some of the lasting effects of the Crocker Land expedition?
Well, they've made some small geographical discoveries and certainly pushed our knowledge of geology and zoology a little further. I also like to think of the Crocker Land expedition as really kind of the end of a heroic era of exploration. This is really the last time you're going to have a big expedition mounted where they're relying on sled dogs, where they're wearing native furs, where they're hauling things by hand. This is really the last time that an expedition is going to be so cut off from the rest of the world. But I also think that, in a way, learning, reading about the Crocker Land expedition makes us appreciate how much that same spirit of heroic exploration still lives within us.
David Welke is the author of the new book, A Wretched and Precarious Situation, detailing the Crocker Land expedition of 1913 to 1917. It's available from W.W. Norton. You can hear much more about the expedition and find a link to the Crocker Land exhibit at the Spurlock Museum on the U of I Urbana campus a bit later this morning at our website, willnews.org.